KFAI is proud to present Bill Orcutt at the Cedar Cultural Center on Monday, May 6th. San Francisco-based guitarist and composer Bill Orcutt presents his latest project, an all-electric guitar quartet, performing the music from his 2022 album, Music for Four Guitars. Featuring an all-star team of guitarists, the ensemble will present the music in an expanded live format that will combine intricate composition with no-holds-barred improvisation. Ava Mendoza opens the show. Tickets for Bill Orcutt can be found at the Cedar Cultural Center website. Visit thecedar.org for more details.
Friends, are you tired of listening to the same old thing? Then try listening to KFAI.
But what if I already listen to KFAI?
Friends, are you tired of not having anyone to talk with about the cool stuff you hear on KFAI? Then get your friends to listen too.
But what if I don't have any friends?
Friends, are you tired of not having any friends? Then try KFAI's Discord page.
KFAI's Discord page?
That's right. Log in through the link at KFAI.org. Chat with KFAI hosts in real time. Meet other KFAI listeners. Be friendly. Become popular. It's all up to you, because KFAI is where communities, even online communities, grow.
I'm spreading my beautiful wings.
It is currently 7:01 here at KFAI Fresh Air Community Radio. 90.3 FM HD1 in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and streaming around the globe at KFAI.org. We are non-commercial, community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Programming on KFAI is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and our wonderful listeners just like you. It is currently 36 degrees here on the west bank of the Mississippi River, with the sun setting, partly cloudy skies. Up next, Robert Pilot in Native Roots Radio presents I Am Awake, the best of.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination. It's
a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton cup, hit me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They are going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, with Make Voting a Tradition.
We love those guys and the work they do. And Robert Lilligren, the leader of that group, is just an awesome person. And you can hear him almost every Thursday on Native Roots Radio. So we are excited to have the Minnesota State Lieutenant Governor on the show right now. And Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, thank you so, so much for being on Native Roots Radio.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be able to be with you live from the Comfort Inn in Rhinelander.
The old Rhinelander, Wisconsin. And what's exciting, Lieutenant Governor, is that we have a big reach in Wisconsin. We're on over 18 stations in Wisconsin, and we're excited to amplify what you're doing today and also talk a little national politics. So again, big peeny geegee for being on, Peggy.
It's my absolute pleasure. And when I was asked to come to Wisconsin to surrogate for the Biden-Harris campaign, I jumped at the chance. I think, you know, we have a healthy rivalry between Minnesota and Wisconsin, right? The Vikings and the Packers and the, you know, Badgers and Gophers.
Absolutely.
But I think we do have shared values, really grounded in caring for one another and just making sure that everyone has an opportunity. And so that's why I'm here. Also, I love cheese. So I figured there'll be lots of opportunities for that here.
Well, I went to Madison for a few years, but I did more studying in the bar than in class. But I had to get my degree in Minnesota. But there's so many similarities, and I didn't know cheese curds in Wisconsin aren't the way they make them here in Minnesota. Do you know that?
Well, they're cold in Wisconsin, right? And in Minnesota, we deep fry them. Listen, I'm not going to discriminate against cheese. I like it in all forms. Yeah. You might not like me back, as many of our indigenous relatives know, but I love it. But yeah, seriously, I am so so happy to be here this weekend and just traveling around the state. There's incredible opportunities here, I think, to connect with voters, with a Native vote that I think has truly the power to decide this election in swing states across the country. And it is critical that our people turn out and vote and, you know, in my opinion, vote for Democrats.
Absolutely. And one of the things we talk about so much on Native Roots Radio is our trifecta here in Minnesota. And we would love that with our neighbors in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's, I think, part of, you know, the message that I want to send here as well. You know, things like making sure that every child can eat breakfast and lunch at school, paid family and medical leave, protecting access to abortion and reproductive rights, and just investing really in the things and the people that we care about. Many of the things that we got done this last legislative session, we'd been laying the groundwork to organize around for decades. So I think, you know, and watching what, you know, Ben Wickler has done here with the Wisconsin Democratic Party, you know, redistricting that is finally more fair and just, the opportunities here in Wisconsin to do that as well. It is, you know, the time is right. And I think 2024 is really the year to make it happen.
What I really like, and you know, Lieutenant Governor, I have a different job. We don't talk too much about here on Native Roots Radio, but I do have a different job, and I go to Wisconsin quite a bit. And there's a great sign that says, vote Democrat because they vote for you.
Yeah. And I think that sums it up, right? Like the contrast that we see between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, I think in this moment could not be clearer. We have, you know, a president who has a long track record of investing in tribal communities. You know, since Biden-Harris has come into office, I think it's been, you know, really powerful, especially with our Auntie Deb, right, with Secretary Holland, who has been in this role. It's a complete game changer for us. The kind of investments, historic investments in Indian country, in infrastructure, in healthcare, in education, it really of honoring the promises that the government made to Native people and continuing to build on that, the compassion with the boarding school work that, you know, that has been invested in. And really, I think the most important thing that I have seen is truly respecting just the government-to-government relationship and allowing additional flexibility with federal dollars, knowing that Native folks know how to spend these resources best and tribes should be, you know, leading the way. That's what I've seen come out of the Biden-Harris administration. And the contrast with Donald Trump, who has openly just said foul and racist things about Native people, who has zero respect for sovereignty, for even the sovereignty for us as you know, women or over our own bodies and our ability to make our own healthcare decisions. And he's in it for himself. I've never seen a quote-unquote leader who has been so blatant in just, you know, naming the fact that, like, they're in it for themselves and for their billionaire, you know, buddies. Like, he doesn't care about us. He doesn't care about regular folks who are just, you know, trying to make it. And so I think that for me, you know, is one of the most important messages is, like, you know, he's a selfish leader who just doesn't, you know, care. And I think would do away with democracy in a heartbeat. And we can't let that happen. And I think, you know, Native folks can really be the determinant this year. And that's why I'm here. And that's why I'm here in April. And, you know, we'll continue to come back to Wisconsin and to swing states across the country to make sure that the people know what's at stake and that we have the power to make the difference in this election cycle.
Yeah, it surely showed that the last presidency. And I know people like Robert Lilligren's group, Rock the Vote Native Style, or not Rock, Make Voting a Tradition, they registered 9,000 new voters, Native American voters, in that last cycle, which helped the governor and lieutenant governor of Minnesota, but also nationally.
That's absolutely right. And you know, when I think about NAFTA, right, and I think about just even the, you know, the phrase, Make Voting a Tradition, voting and voting by moving forward by consensus is so grounded in so many of our communities, right? I think sometimes there's this vibe of like, oh, that's not our system, right? Like, you know, sometimes folks don't want to participate in that. But listen, we are impacted more by decision makers, right, and elected officials than any other group of folks, right? So from, you know, the local, state, certainly, you know, federal level, and the executive branch, I think, really, really matters. So I am thrilled, right, by those results of registering new voters, and that absolutely has to be a part of the way that we build power all of the time. Voter registration, coming back to, you know, lobby folks when they're in office, and just having a consistent presence, not just about elections, but that we are engaged as Native people and will continue to show up over and over again.
Hey, we're here with Minnesota State Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, and we're talking about Biden and also our sister state, Wisconsin, and we're going to be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Oh, we love those guys and the work they do all over Turtle Island. And again, they were one of our first sponsors 7 years ago. So we really have a deep heart and relationship with Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. Great work there. Hey, we are here with Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, and we are really excited to talk about what she's doing today and also amplify a few things that we all love to talk about here on Native Roots Radio. Welcome back.
Thanks so much. I'm so happy to be here.
There's you were talking about the contrast earlier in the last segment between Biden and Trump. There are so many stark ones. How about if you pop out a couple of them? Because I know Indian country and the people that listen to Native Roots Radio sometimes need to be reminded.
Yeah. So I think for many of us, right, like those 4 years were just so dark that we try to, you know, forget them. And, you know, it was just like the days of what is he going to tweet, right? Like having a little like pit in your stomach, which like world leader is he gonna go after for no reason other than ego? as a mom, right, literally having to turn off the TV when he came on because I couldn't have my daughter like listen to his like violent rhetoric and crude behavior. And I would think about who the president was like every single day. And it was, you know, I think really traumatic for so many of us. You know, one of the things that, you know, he did is signed, right, authorization for the Dakota Access Pipeline the second day he was in office. You know, that I think is, you know, deeply painful. And, you know, juxtapose that with, you know, the leadership of Secretary Holland, you know, that was, you know, who was appointed by President Biden to be really deeply committed to clean energy and this clean energy economy and, you know, making sure that we have a pathway away from fossil fuels. And that's incredibly important, right? The sustainability of our communities, that we are impacted more than anybody else. So that I think is very clear. And, you know, taking folks back in the Wayback Machine all the way to 1993, when, you know, right after the Indian Gaming Act was passed, that you know, Donald Trump, there's this sort of infamous hearing where he, you know, goes after tribes, uses some of the most like racist language and rhetoric I've heard. And then, you know, talks about how he wants a system to be more fair, right? And that it's not fair for him to have to pay taxes. He's not really good at paying taxes, anyway, right? But at the time, right, simultaneously, Chief Executive Melanie Benjamin reminded me of this just earlier this week, that he was actively getting ready to file for bankruptcy while he was testifying at that hearing. So, you know, Indian gaming is one of the things that has really allowed us to, you know, care for our own people, provide tourism and jobs to non-Native folks, right? Healthcare to people. Like, it's just you know, it is one of the ways that we're able to support our communities. That is always under threat, and specifically, right, under threat by if Donald Trump is reelected. And so, like, that's real, and we have to talk about it versus, right, the Biden administration that has been, you know, committed to our ability, right, to be able to care for our own people and our own communities and have, you know, an economy and infrastructure within our own tribes that, you know, again, if Indian country is doing well, the rest of the community, the region, the state, and the country are doing well. And I think that the Biden-Harris administration, you know, really understands that.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, I'm referring back to my other job that I don't talk about much here on Native Roots Radio, is that well, let me back up a second. We have Bob Blake from Red Lake on every Wednesday, and he gives us solar news. He's the solar bear with the solar news, and it's really fun. But he talks about what great work the Biden administration has done, not in Indian country, but all over with renewable energy.
Yeah, the investments have been significant. And I think, like, we just need to keep talking about it. And that is why, you know, I'm here and trying to spread the word, and we'll be continuing to chat with folks about what is at stake. These investments are real. Clean energy economy is what is needed and necessary for, you know, for our people, and they've really delivered. You know, I think there's just, in generally, right, there's been a lot of investment, but specifically for tribal communities, are really impressive. So there's been $32 billion to support healthcare and housing, you know, survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault, childcare for our people. And, you know, those are real tangible things where, you know, we frankly, our communities deserve those investments. I consider it in many ways a down payment, right? The Biden-Harris administration understands that, and I think we'll continue to make these investments. One of the things that I think is so critical for tribal communities, especially, you know, our reservation communities, are those investments in infrastructure. So it's $13 billion to fix roads and bridges, provide clean drinking water for our people. And then, you know, Robert, as you mentioned, more than $720 million to help tribes to adapt and plan for climate change, to mitigate drought, support fisheries, and then transition to a clean energy production and use for our communities. So that's real money. You know, $3.5 billion for high speed internet across the country. We know how much that is needed in our communities, especially rural communities. And then just generally, you know, overall providing just more of a greater role in the management of the land and water that have cultural and natural resources that are, you know, significant to our people. So, you know, that's been just like a lot to talk about. So we need to continue to talk about it.
Yeah, and remind people because it is night or day. And I'm glad you mentioned broadband, because a lot of our tribes are out there, and a lot of our farmers and a lot of other people. And we found out during COVID that we need an infrastructure update, and the president and their people reacted accordingly.
That's right. That's right. And I think the, you know, again, continuing the tribal summits, the government to government work and conversations, as well as being really clear that there are opportunities to work within and to support urban native communities as well, right? We don't all live on reservations, and you know that, and I think that there's been a commitment to that too. And you know, I am eager for the Biden-Harris administration to be able to continue this work. We are not done yet. And so I think, you know, having four more years is going to give us an opportunity to build a really solid foundation to set us up for success, you know, into the future, to strengthen this relationship between tribes, right, and the federal government, but also to make sure that they continue to deliver on their promises, you know, for our communities.
Well, we talk about a lot here in Native Roots Radio about Biden as being an elder. And what I mean by that, that's a Native way. When somebody's older, that's who you want to find out things. And he's got a great cabinet and people working for him. But we respect our elders.
That's right. And here's what I know. And I'm going to share this story around the state today. But the first time that I ever met President Biden is when he was vice president. I was invited to his home for a celebration for advocates around domestic violence and sexual assault prevention. And I was with Dave Wellstone, the son of our late great Senator Paul Wellstone. So the two of us got to meet with him before sort of the big party. And I told him my story about being a survivor of domestic violence and a child witness of abuse. And the care that he had in holding and hearing my story, he gave me a hug and I felt seen and supported. And it really, he encouraged me to keep telling it. And I think there's something like, if you can tell the vice president this story, I bet you can tell other people. but it was just the incredible kindness. And so that for me is, you know, he is an elder, right? He is wise. He is caring. And I think, you know, coming back to that piece, Robert, I'm so glad that you brought that up, right? We respect the wisdom, right, and the experience of our elders. And, you know, that is clearly something that we need to keep talking about. He has a great big heart, and I am grateful that he has been our president and stepped up during a time when we were all just experiencing incredible trauma. And has set us on a road to healing.
Well, really good medicine. We are here with Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, and what good medicine you're giving our listeners today. And you, everywhere you speak, you give us chills. And when I was a high school teacher, I always said, thank you for doing what you're doing, a big peeny geeky, because our young ones need to see people that look like them in leadership capacities. So I will not call you Senator yet, but I will call you Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. Thank you so much.
Pinagigi Miigwech, thank you so much. I'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks. That was our great Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. We'll be back right after this short break. Please stay with us.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, was really great to have the Lieutenant Governor on the first segment. What a well-spoken. We could have her on every day. It's
really, truly.
And what a great speaker. And I've always get emotional when she's on the show. So, yeah, big Pinagigi. Hey, we are here with John Williams here, and he's a movie producer, and we know him for other things here in the community. And John, don't laugh. You are a movie producer.
Well, it looks like it could happen.
Well, we are going to be talking about the movie you're going to be working on, and we really appreciate you coming on. And talk about the process and talk about where you're at with your next coming project. And we're excited to amplify that today.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me, you guys. It's great to see you, Haley and Robert. I have a couple of things I wanted to talk about NACDI for you guys. Do you mind? We have some really fun stuff going on at the gallery at All My Relations. We've got an artist market coming this weekend. So it's Friday and Saturday. We've got 15 to 20 vendors. It's going to be from 10 to 2 right at our gallery next to Power Grounds. On the Ave, but it should be great. I was at the last one and spent too much money, but that's a good thing to do is come and spend money on artists. So please, Friday, Saturday, April 19th and 20th, 10 to 2, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Yeah, we are excited and we love to come there, Haley and I, we're going to be excited. We're going to be part of the market when it comes out this year at Native Roots Trading Post. And we have those cool little hoodies that you had taken a picture and put on Facebook up there, and we're excited to get those out there.
Yeah, everybody likes that, so I'm going to need more. the other thing is we have a new exhibit opening, you guys. It's Frank Buffalo Hyde, and he is opening a show called Alternative. It's painting and sculpture, and he's an amazing artist. It opens May 9th, and vivid and pop culture saturated, his work reflects on the commodification of Indian culture and the assertive roles for Native American identity in the contemporary world. So it should be a stellar exhibit. Opening reception May 9th, 6 to 8. Let me just double check. 6 to 8. I was right the first time, May 9th. So please come down, celebrate Native art with us. Come to the market. Thank you for letting me promote those things on the show.
Absolutely. And Haley talks about them, and we have Robert Lilligren on Thursdays too. So we love talking about what's happening on the Native corridor in Minneapolis. And I just want to remind too, all our listeners out there, everyone's invited, you know, all our allies out there.
Absolutely.
There is so much fun and joy. Stop in the coffee shop, check out the whole avenue and what's happening, you know. So we're really excited to be a part of this and be able to go down there and do that with you. And it's just a welcoming situation, John.
Hey, Robert, I heard that Robert Lilligren is kind of a disruptive guest. Is this true?
no, but I do know that he appreciates his name spoken correctly. And so I am practicing every day now.
Right. You stumbled on Robert or Lilligren?
Maybe both.
Yeah. Ooh, Haley, easy there. Maybe both. I'll take the fifth. You'll have to listen more often, John.
I do try to listen, but I will take that as direction to listen more frequently.
Hey, so let's talk about what happened up in Duluth and what's happening now and the sure. project you're working on. I'm really excited to amplify that.
Oh, good. Well, so I'm going to tell you the story here. And if we have to go to commercial, just shut me up, okay? which I know you will. So our friend Tashia Hart, who is a writer based in Duluth, she was part of our Native Authors program at NACTI and All My Relations. And for those who don't know about it, the Native Author program that we've been operating since 2021 is for emerging Native American artists. And Tashia Hart was in our first cohort. And by the way, it's been so successful that we'll be starting our third cohort this year. But Tashia wrote a novel. She wrote a romance novel called Native Love Jams. So that was happening and part of NACTI. So this is NACTI adjacent. In the meanwhile, my former colleague at NACTI, Elizabeth Day, is a filmmaker. And she made a beautiful documentary, co-directed and co-produced a documentary that that opened the Minnesota Film Festival last week. And so we were up there, but prior to going up to celebrate Elizabeth and Jonathan's beautiful film called Without Arrows, and that will be airing on PBS later this year. It's a gorgeous film about a Cheyenne River family, the Fiddlers, and the ups and downs of their life and reservation life and urban life. And so beautiful. The photography is stunning and it just packs a wallop at the end. Couldn't recommend it higher, more highly. So Without Arrows. But Elizabeth and I told her last year, I said, whatever your next project is, I want to work on it. That's all I said to her. Mm-hmm. In the interim, and a couple weeks had passed, in that interim, we both had picked up a copy of Native Love Jams and read it. And then I ran into Elizabeth and she said, here's my new project. I want to produce Native Love Jams into a movie. I was sold because I think there might be one or two other Native American romantic comedies, but it's certainly not something that's common. Mm-hmm. And I thought what the world needs right now is a Native American rom-com. And so what, so Tashia Hart went ahead and wrote a screenplay and we decided to enter the pitch competition at the Minnesota Film Festival. And come to find out in February, March, we were selected as a finalist.
Wow.
So during the festival, yeah. So we went up and we rehearsed and we rehearsed and we got our stuff together and wrote. And Tashia and Elizabeth got up on stage last week and sold this pitch to festival attendees and industry professionals. And everybody laughed at the right moments. They thought it was wonderful. And we ended up winning. So... Yeah. We won the award, and at the same, just shortly after that, Elizabeth won for her other film for Best Local Filmmaker. So we just cleaned up that night. It was wonderful. There's been some interest already in our project, Native Love Jams, and so we're kind of getting our stuff together here and forming an LLC and doing production company stuff and mm-hmm. all of that. But thank you for letting me promote it. We really believe that this whole novel, the way that Tashia so carefully crafted a romantic comedy to reflect a true Anishinaabe story, is so winning and beautiful and funny, and we deserve a happy ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing, and it's so interesting, too. I was in New York and ran into a filmmaker, and she was trying to ask me if I knew any filmmakers, and then this popped up. So love to get you two together and talk over things, because she has a film. Haley, what's the name of the film again?
The Heart Stays.
Yeah, and that's on Apple TV, and she self-produced it, and it's just...
great to see all this art and film and television and media out there that Native Americans are doing by themselves.
Well, that's what Elizabeth and I want to do with our production company, is we want to not only produce cool Native movies, we want to build Native talent within the film industry. We would love to see more people getting trained in being a grip and being a focus puller, being part of a production. So many people love movies and they may think that they don't have an in to become part of the movie making process or TV making process. And so we want to strategize about ways that if we bring productions to Minnesota, are fortunate enough to do that, that we focus on how that's going to most directly impact our Native communities.
Absolutely. And we always talk, and I know we've talked, you and I, about Natives telling their own story, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. We have heart, we have humor, and we've proven that in the last 5 years with things like the television show Reservation Dogs and the movies that have come out, Predator, the pre-Predator, and there's just been a lot of excitement that we have to keep this momentum going.
Absolutely. I mean, we couldn't be more thrilled that Reservation Dogs was a success. Lily Gladstone is kicking down doors for us. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some equal time for Native people. And, you know, frankly, I want all of our stories being told, but those stories include romantic comedies. They include horror movies, which is my favorite genre. They include dramas, and not all of our stories are rooted in trauma.
Right.
Sometimes we just need a 2-hour break and watch something fun and light, and where all the tropes of a romantic comedy are represented, because Toshio was so smart in putting this together, that we just get to celebrate the tumultuous ways that us Native people are falling in love.
Hey, we're here with John Williams, and he's the Vice President of Development at Native American Community Development Institute and also a producer. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about this. And also, I will be shaving my goatee off if I need be to try out for the movie.
Just okay. All right. Yeah. We'll send you the casting call.
Right on. For somebody, a radio personality that mispronounces everyone's names, right?
Right. You might. Yeah. Well, there's a place for everybody in our ways.
That's Aww. Right. Oh, that's really cool. John, great to see you. Thank you for everything you do in the community. And good luck with this. And stay in touch, too. We want
all
to.
Right. Definitely. We will be back, I hope, to talk about Native Love Jams and all things NACTI. Thanks, you guys.
Right on. Hey, Native Roots Radio, we'll be right back after this short break.
I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened. This is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic, or NAC, in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are excited, as always. Now it's a full Ho-Chunk, Ho-Chunk radio show happening right now, and we have our friend Arvina Martin, CEO and director of Merge Wisconsin, and we love checking in our friends in Wisconsin and Madison and talking a little politics and what's happening with Emerge. Welcome, Arvina. We've missed you.
Yeah. We have to have our 5/4 Ho-Chunk day.
Always.
That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah. It's good to be back. It's been a bit.
I noticed, too, that, Haley said you weren't able to come on last week, and then all of a sudden it popped up in my feed that you were a star of some kind of, you were a speaker at some kind of thing, event happening. I'm going, of course she can't come on. She's busy doing her thing.
Yeah, I was speaking last Wednesday night at the an event for the Wisconsin Democratic Party, talking about Tribes 101. So we talked a little bit about sovereignty and what that means, and how sovereignty and tribal sovereignty are the same thing, and why tribal sovereignty is important, and why the concept of tribal sovereignty is different than what the federal government is peddling, and how to work with tribes and how to work with Native communities and how to get Native people involved in political campaigns and get Native people to run for office and just getting people involved and how to do it in an appropriate way and respectful. So
it's when you say that too, Arvina, it's really exciting when you do run into a politician or a person that's a white ally and they get it. That really, really excites me. And it's work like you do and our ancestors and other people and the work that they put in too to learn. But when you do things like that, and I remember seeing your 101 on Native sovereignty when I was in Wisconsin, it's just amazing that people want to learn and in a good way. So bravo to you and bravo to the people that really get engaged with it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I was telling people that, even something as simple as learning how to say hello in that particular community in their language is kind of a nice little like first step, like you're making the attempt to learn and learn the language of the people whose land you live on. It is like just a first little tiny step. But it's one that people appreciate, because so few people do it, that sometimes some of these things that we think of or that people would think of as common courtesies are not so common and people are shocked at the reaction it gets, because one would think that acting in a certain way when reaching out to tribal communities or wanting to host events jointly with a tribal community or something like that, that the respect that is shown, you would think that more people would do that, but you would be wrong. there's a lot of people that just come in and, I mean, you guys know this, and they come in and demand, use of a space or demand someone come in and talk to their class about A, B, or C, and don't think anything about the time that they're asking or the emotional labor that they're asking somebody to do, or, asking someone to come in and say, we want to do a land acknowledgement. Does the tribe care? Like, why are you, what's the point? What is your ultimate goal in doing this? And kind mm-hmm. of getting them to think about what their actions, are they performative or are they actually helpful to the community that they're trying to build relationships with?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we're here with Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin, Arvina Martin. And, I've been in discussion with the land acknowledgements, and I think it was exciting at first when asked to do that, and now it's like you said, is this performative, or are you making you feel better, and who's the land acknowledgement for? And I know, and Ho-Chunk and, you know, here in Minnesota, the Ojibwe and Dakota know, and especially the Dakota here in Minnesota know that this is their land.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny, too, because people will come in and then and you're like, yep, I sure feel acknowledged. Like, thumbs up. You know. Great. Now what?
And, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, what is your feeling about the Biden and Trump race in Wisconsin? Because I know what my feeling is, and I feel like we're all sick of the orange one hasn't won the last two elections, 3 million votes the first time and 8 million the next. And Wisconsin was a heavy duty partner in overthrowing him. And I feel like we are doing so much better, and the mass media is the one that's driving this race, talking about it being so close.
I think that Democrats in Wisconsin and, well, in Minnesota as well, but anybody who doesn't want to see a Trump second term is going to have to work really hard, and we're going to all have to do something, whether that is making sure that we get to polls ourselves, making sure we do that at least is going to be a big deal. Maybe we can help get some of our friends and relatives. Maybe we have some of our elder relatives that we can help get to the polls, or friends and relatives, you know, that have maybe they don't have cars, you know, giving people rides to the polls, or remembering to remind people, you know, just and then I'll get into where I think we're at. But like, you know, when people there's so many studies that people do on behavior and voting behavior. And one of the biggest things that makes that will predict whether someone goes to the polls and goes to cast their ballot is if they make a plan to vote. So if you talk to me on election day and I've asked you if you have voted yet and you say you haven't, the next thing out of my mouth guaranteed on election day is going to be, oh, okay, so are you going to go vote on your way home from work? Okay, so mm-hmm. You're going to stop by, so you're going to drive from work to your polling place, you know, before you pick up dinner, before you go home, and you help them make that concrete plan in their head. Wow. And then they're more likely to go vote. So anybody who ever talks to me on election day gets that conversation, and always, always, always. And then, you know, if they're like, oh, well, I don't know, or, oh, I got to do this. Well, then you help them problem solve and then help them make that plan. But I really think that given all of the policy concerns, thinking about all the tariffs that Trump wants to put into place that are going to make everything cost so much more. And you know, the biggest and most personal issue to me, I know we've talked about it, is reproductive health. You know, Wisconsin has one of those archaic laws about abortion that happened before, that was put into law before Wisconsin was a state, just like our I'm gonna go through all the states that start with A before I get to Arizona. But you know, though that's an issue that is very, very, you know, important to so many people, and not just people who identify as women. You know, that it's going to be, it's such an important issue, and it affects all of us. And so we need to be talking about that, because, you know, we don't know what they're going to take after they take this. They're going to take birth control, and how many of us use birth control to manage symptoms for conditions that have nothing to do with giving birth. If we keep talking about issues like this, then Wisconsin and Minnesota are both going to stay blue. But we need to keep talking about these and how they affect our everyday lives, because they absolutely do. And they affect our children's lives, And, you know, it terrifies me. We're actually at Emerge going to be working on an event that we're going to be talking called Women Talk Politics Day. And you can look up womentalkpolitics.org, I believe. And it is going to be on May 2nd this year. And that is the 1 year anniversary of, or that is the anniversary, not 1 year, I'm sorry, the anniversary of the Dobbs decision. So we encourage all women to talk politics that day with your friends, and talk about how they affect you, because they do. Anybody who talks about, you know, I don't like to talk about it because it doesn't have anything to do with my life. You know, it does. It has everything to do with, you know, how you protect your health, how you look at your paycheck, how you afford all of your groceries and the gasoline that you put in your car. You know, all of these things are things that are going to be determined by the next election. I mean, and, you know, not to mention democracy as we know it.
absolutely.
To vote on the guy that said he would be a dictator on day one.
Yep, exactly. And his last presidency on day two, he signed the Dakota Access Pipeline, and he said, drill, baby, drill. That was the second day. That wasn't the third day. That wasn't the 10th day. That was the second day, and that was a direct attack at our native neighbors in the Dakotas.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Hey, we're here with Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, Arvina Martin. We're going to be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
If you're looking for an exciting change and you want to spend your work days helping others, Hennepin Healthcare is hosting a career fair on Saturday, April 27th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Hennepin Healthcare Downtown Clinic and Specialty Center on 815 South A Street. Whether you're a new grad, changing careers, or having many years of experience, we welcome you. For more information, open positions, and to register for this event, visit hennepinhealthcare.org/careerfair.
KFAI is proud to present Desert Islands live at Palmer's Bar on Wednesday, April 24th from noon until 7 p.m. At Palmer's Bar, the fourth Wednesday of every month is a showcase of music, art, and entertainment curated by Theyself, also known as Doc, the host of KFAI's Desert Islands.
April's installment will feature vinyl sets from DJs Terrell Lamar and Miguel Vargas at 7 p.m., followed by a live broadcast of KFAI's Radio Pocho from 8 to 10 p.m. Theyself will close out the night with a special solo performance.
More information about Desert Islands live at Palmer's Bar can be found at the Palmer's Bar website. You can visit palmers-bar.com for more details.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How? No!
I never know if I'm still on there when it's time.
Yeah. That was a little weak Wisconsin. There we go. Oh, it was a little baby.
Wolf pup.
Yeah, a little pup. Exactly. Oh, Wendy just howled in the other room along with her dog. Yay. Hey, let's talk a little bit. We are here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. And our friend, Lieutenant Governor, was in Wisconsin this past weekend.
Yes.
What a rock star, huh?
Yes. I was so jealous. I was unable to make it because I have an old age injury. I have a lumbar something in my back that is slipped. And so I couldn't sit in the car to drive up to Black River. So I missed it, but I heard that she rallied all of the troops to kind of get people excited. And I think, did she also participate in one of the congressional district conference or conventions. I don't know. I saw my Facebook feed was full of a lot of happy brown faces. Yeah. They saw her.
Well, I don't know if Haley can answer that because I don't know. We had her on as we usually do every other week, but it was fun because the Biden administration reached out to us again to have a special guest. And because we've had the vice president's husband on and we've had.
Yeah.
So we've been rocking and rolling. And then we get somebody that's normally on her show. It was kind of funny, but we took the opportunity.
Yeah, she's an outstanding surrogate. I really love hearing her speak. I believe there was a speech that she did that I saw when the George Floyd protests were happening, and she was asking for people to remain, you know, to not be violent and to be respectful of each other. And the way she did it without like belittling or making the concerns of the people that were protesting, without making those concerns smaller, she just handled it masterfully and was in that moment, I thought, just such an amazing leader for Minnesota during such, you know, a hard and difficult time. I was so impressed with how she handled it and how she delivered a speech that was not only one that was supposed to have, you know, kind of a calming effect, but it was so respectful. And I just, you know, I thought she did a fabulous job. She's so great. Fangirl right here.
Yeah, absolutely. And before I start gushing over the lieutenant governor here in Minnesota, you guys in Wisconsin have a rock star. The past two lieutenant governors
are
rock stars.
Both of them, actually, you know, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes was outstanding. He had a wonderful relationship with tribes, and our current Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is also doing a great job at building those relationships with tribes. I know one of her first trips was to go up to Oneida, and she just literally said, "I want to see what you guys are proud of. Show off what you know, what you want to show off." I mean, and that's such a great way to start and build a relationship, especially for an elected official, to see what your community is proud of. You know, everybody, you know, we get so caught up in the trauma porn and you know, the things that are not going well, that we forget to share our success stories and share off the resilience that our people have, because we, you know, we sure as heck are resilient. We're still here, you know.
Wow, Arvina,
years later.
Arvina, we've really missed you. You know, we got a lot of people posting here on YouTube and Facebook how great it is to hear from you again. And we are trying to pull together with both lieutenant governors to come on at the same time, and then Haley and I will just sit back and let them interview each other, because they both really respect each other and work together with each other. And we are all so lucky. And I always tell the lieutenant governor Flanagan that she'll be our next state's or our next senator, and then possibly the first Native American president. And she was the first Native American to speak at the Democratic Convention, if I do remember, in 2016. So there's all these firsts with our lieutenant governor, and we're excited to call her friend and have her on the show as much as possible. I got to segue into this because we only have a few more minutes left, but did you celebrate Monday? I was so happy Monday because it was somebody had to go to court. Somebody had to go to court.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the WNBA draft.
Well, let's talk about that. That was a beautiful thing. And Minnesota Lynx,
yeah,
American on the team, and we're reaching out to try and get her on. But yeah, well, let's talk about that.
So here in Madison, we don't have a WNBA team here in Wisconsin, but you know, I noticed that within driving distance, we've got, you know, you guys getting Alyssa Pili, who is Polynesian and Inupiaq up there by you guys, and then Angel Reese down in Chicago, and then there was another one whose name I don't remember.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.